You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on here?
Well, I know that you've had an experience with this, but I received an email yesterday, and you've had difficulty with old people living next door to you and being agitated with everything you do, correct?
I've had, moving into Brookline when we first moved here, I immediately had someone yelling at me, literally immediately. If you give me a 10-minute window from the time I arrived in town, then I would say immediately.
Okay, so what were they yelling at you about?
I was moving into a three-level, a townhome where someone owned the bottom level. There was a unit on the second level, and we were on the top level. And some mad real estate genius had actually bought a side unit of a building that someone else owned. And they had I was coming from Atlanta where there's land. And while the movers were moving our stuff, they had the audacity to put our grill on probably a 5 foot by 2 foot patch of soil. And the psychopathic woman that lived in the stupid thing that she bought, which will be able to sell for no money, came out and started screaming at us that we had put that I didn't even put it there, that the movers had put the grill there temporarily. And swearing and going crazy.
That still isn't the best that I've heard of. Like, I don't know if it's the same people, but didn't you say when you walk your dogs, if one of your dogs walked onto their area of grass?
Oh yeah,
didn't he have?
No. Yeah, there was a guy, and this is true. It's Washington Square. There is a guy that had a megaphone on his front porch, and he would sit wherever he was sitting, and he had the handle to it, and he would scream at you to get off his lawn. And again, this is Brookline, so you have a patch of grass. Like, you have, like, a little tiny patch of grass. And it was so important to him. And it wasn't even, like, your dog. It was just if you, like, touched his grass.
Yeah.
Because people bought places in Brookline in, like, 1920 and never left. And it's, like, the most sacred hollow ground in the world. Washington Square, I don't know if it's changed. Now everyone's got, you know, hipster beards. But when I was there, it was hell on earth. Everyone sucked. Oh, did we want to move? Oh, did I want to leave Boston?
All I know is that if I had friends and I lived where you did, and they were over, I'd say, okay, you got to check this out. And every day I would try to see if this guy would yell at me with his megaphone. Would just crack me up every single time.
Everyone just screamed constantly. Everyone was pissed off about everything.
Oh, well, don't you dare wait. If you wait in line at that Walgreens over there at Coolidge Corner.
CVS.
Is it the CVS? Okay.
Yes.
You're going to hear some yelling. There was a woman, there was somebody had like eaten part of an apple and put it like where the gum was, and the woman refused to go to the counter because there was a half-eaten apple sitting on top of where the packs of gum were.
Well, that's the whole pharmacy thing, is that you'll be in line at the pharmacy and then some like old lady will just charge up to the front and start asking questions. I've been at the pharmacy where someone brought up cold medicine. Over-the-counter cold medicine and ask questions for 5 minutes. You know what it is? It's poison. You're in such danger taking this Tylenol cold. I can't tell you what you're in store for.
I saw somebody at that Panera Bread try to negotiate the price of a bagel.
Yeah.
$2 seems like a lot. If I got it without any spread, could I get it for $1? No, yeah. I'm sorry. It costs $2, and, you know, we just throw in the spread. But what if I only had half the bagel? Could I have it for $1?
Yeah, that's a keen financial mind.
So there's nothing worse than moving into a place and then realizing you have a psycho living next door to you. And I was sent this from somebody. Now, this is not him. He said this is something that he had seen. So there is a guy who hired somebody to paint the side of his building, and across the street is an older gentleman. So this guy had to have a cherry picker come out in order to get like paint some of the higher floors. So this video is taken from the viewpoint of the guy in the cherry picker. He's up there and he's by himself, and he's trying to paint, and there's a guy with no, an old dude with no shirt on who comes out, and he's holding hedge clippers in his hands, like big hedge clippers, and he's yelling at this guy. So this guy is having a conversation, finally realizes that this guy seems, this old dude seems crazy enough where he might do something really dumb right now, so I'm taking out my phone, I want to videotape everything, so there's no shenanigans if I have to turn this over to the police.
I will tell you one story that relates to this, and then I will get to the audio, is that I, at the time, was friends with someone, we'd fallen out of touch, that was opening a restaurant in Washington Square, where he had bought a place that was for sale, and he was opening in Washington Square. And he was up on a ladder, and he was painting it. And a man came by and introduced himself and shook his hand. And he said, "What do you?" He goes, "I heard you're opening a barbecue place." And he said, "Yes." And he goes, "Will you be serving pork?" And he said, "Yeah." And the guy hit him in the face.
Like, hit him?
The guy hit him in the face. And then ultimately, they like ran around in his kitchen taking pictures, and he had to, the literally the night before they opened, completely changed the menu because they had gone to City Hall and made all this craziness for him.
Okay.
It was like a little dude, and he goes, "Are you serving pork?" And he goes, "Yep." Right. And he just hauled off and hit him in the face.
All right. Well, welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay. I like the hedge clippers. Like, okay, what are you going to do?
And they're huge.
Yeah.
Like, they're huge hedge clippers.
Okay, good. So now go to jail for the rest of your life. Just go. You want to go to jail for 10 years, hedge clipper guy? Yeah, good.
So this guy is up in the cherry picker, and this guy, old dude with a big thing of hedge clippers, starts yelling at him.
Okay, you. Sir, you touch that, I'm going to have to press charges against...
Call the police right now. Call them right now, man.
I can't do anything about the beeper.
I'm going to go on a wild guess and say this dude's drunk.
And it's like in the middle of the day, by the way.
Yeah,
he had
some afternoon cocktails.
He's,
why not?
He's walking with the hedge clippers over to the bottom of the cherry picker, and he's like pointing them at somewhere like the wires are and stuff. Now remember, this guy is by himself up in the top of this thing. Who knows what would happen if he clipped one of these wires while he's up there?
Right.
It's a safety issue, sir. Sir, you touch that lift, you're going to be in big trouble. That is Don't do it, sir! Hey! No way! You're gonna hit those hydraulics! You will kill me!
Why is the guy so upset that he's in a cherry picker?
Because it's making noise, apparently.
So he walks out there with the hedge clippers.
Yeah. Okay, at this point, the guy has no choice, but he has to go down because this guy might snip something, and who knows what's going to happen to him in the cherry picker. So he is slowly lowering himself down, and waiting for him at the bottom is this crazy old man with a huge set of hedge clippers, like standing there, like waiting for him to come down.
All right, well, we'll have to find out what happens with this man with the hedge clippers following the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Acura Peabody.
It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, someone sent you a video. They're up in a cherry picker painting a house.
Right.
And out comes a neighbor with clippers, hedge clippers, big ones.
Yeah, a neighbor being a old man without his shirt on in the middle of the day. And he's obviously pissed off about something. And so this guy, remember, he is, you know, probably on the third floor of this building in a cherry picker. And this guy comes out and he's yelling at him. He starts running over towards the bottom of the cherry picker where he's by himself and starts picking at the wires. So this guy has no idea whether or not if he clips something, who knows what would happen with his cherry picker. So after he's yelling at him, are you going to start it like from the beginning right there?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so he starts yelling at him. But the sound you're going to hear in a moment is at some point he's freaking out so much that this guy's messing with the bottom of the cherry picker that he has to lower himself to go face to face with this guy. So very wisely, he takes out his phone and starts filming this guy in case there's any kind of shenanigans. He wants some evidence for the police. Like, this is what's going on. This guy's coming at me with hedge clippers. Let's take a listen.
Okay, f*** you.
Sir, you touch that, I'm going to have to press charges against...
Call the police right now. Call them right now, man.
I can't do anything about the beeper. It's a safety issue, sir. Sir, You touch that lift, you're going to be in big trouble. That is
a done.
Don't do it, sir. Hey. Hey. No way. You're going to hit those hydraulics. You will kill me.
Okay, so this is him. This is okay. So now he's getting down to face level with this guy, and the guy's coming up to him with the clippers, and he's holding the clippers up, like kind of in front of this guy's face, and he's trying to step back. Now the cherry pickers, you know, has like a little bit of a built-in kind of fence.
Right.
That way you can, you know, if you had to lean over it, you could. You're not going to instantly fall out. It's not just a platform. It's got like a little bit of like a guardrail, and so he's kind of stepping in the back of it, and this dude's holding up the clippers, kind of in the guy's in his own face.
Okay. Here we go.
Call him right now. I'm tired of listening to you. Come on.
Get out of here now. Now.
What do you want to do, bitch?
I want you to get out of here.
No,
now.
I am not.
You are
I want
me.
You to shut
you're,
up.
You're showing up.
I want
weapon.
You to shut
you're
up.
Showing up.
I've been listening to this for the last 5 days, all night long. Come on, put me on camera.
You are,
call the
sir,
police.
You're in big trouble.
Call the police.
You're in big trouble.
No, I am not.
Yes.
You are.
Yes, you're in
I
trouble.
Can't sleep.
Sir,
I've been listening
I don't
to
this thing at night. I don't use
let's
this at night.
Let's wait for the police.
That's during working
let's
hours.
Let's wait for the police.
Let's do.
Let's get you're on. Calling the police?
No.
Well, go ahead. Call the police, bitch. Come on. I'm tired of it.
Get out of here.
No, you.
Okay, stop. Okay, so at this point, the guy takes out the clippers and lunges towards him and like tries to snip this guy in the face.
Oh, well, that's good.
On camera.
On camera.
Brilliant.
And so this guy, his reaction is just to push the clippers out of the way, and what do you think happens to the dude? Just crumples onto the ground like a pile of like a pile of bones. I mean, he's like a crazy old man.
Yeah,
so he comes at him with the thing, and the guy pushes the clippers, and the guy falls onto the ground. And
I think a lot of that might be chemical.
Shut down.
Sir?
You're done,
sir.
You are done,
sir. Leave.
No.
Leave.
You are done.
Leave.
Okay. Okay. He knocks him onto the ground, and he's on the ground, and he's motionless, and the clippers are, like, lying by his side, and the guy's like, oh, my God, I might have killed the guy. Like, I mean, he fell down and stopped moving, and now listen to what you're going to hear here.
Is he asleep? Holy cow. That is impressive.
He was so tired because he was up all that time, you see.
His head sleep.
Wait, so he got pushed down and then he immediately went to sleep?
He fell asleep.
You sure he wasn't Pasta Joe?
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, Pasta Joe, you know.
Pasta.
He's still breathing. Somebody call the police! Can somebody please call the police?
It's like that episode of the Flintstones where they thought that Fred Flintstone had that thing that you couldn't go to sleep. And like every time they left him alone for like 2 seconds, he'd fall asleep. This guy just waiting for it.
Right. He had to be, like, that's a guy that, like, has to be turned up to 10. And the second the energy goes down.
Yeah. He got tuckered out very quickly.
He's blinking. He's alert. He's aware. Breathing. Somebody call the police. Somebody call an ambulance.
He's not going anywhere.
Sir? Sir? Could you call the police? This gentleman here just attacked me with a pair of cutters.
I just dialed 911.
Well, I'm videotaping this for my safety, sir.
But he's during disabled my phone.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I just like that no one will call the police.
I know,
it's too much of a hassle.
It's Cramps. It's Randy again. Randy's just threatening people. You know, just let him get wound up and then walk away and he'll just fall asleep in a big pile of bones.
I'm just interested in this phone call. Nick, go ahead.
Fred, I know you had issues with your previous neighbors, but did you know your current neighbor is starting a major home renovation today, and he's going to have bulldozers at his house today?
So yes.
I'm going to enjoy that.
And it's going on for a year. I am aware of that. That there is going to be a year of a house restoration going on.
This is a very creepy call, Nick. Who are you and how do you know Fred?
Well, my boss is actually Fred's neighbor, so I have a little bit of insight into Fred's home life.
So Fred's neighbor tells you at work about Fred?
He doesn't exactly tell me. I ask him a lot, but he doesn't exactly tell me all that I want to know.
Is it the neighbor who's having the house constructed?
He's doing a major renovation.
Yeah, but that's your boss?
Yes, it is.
Oh, he doesn't know anything about me.
What's the best thing he's told you about Fred?
Yeah, what the hell does he know about me?
Nothing really interesting, except the whole fact when you told the story about shoveling your driveway with the whole 3 feet of snow you had to shovel, how big of an issue that was for you. And when you had big snowbanks in front of your driveway, you just try to drive through them without shoveling them first, and he'd watch you through his windows, cuss and swear when you try to get rid of the snow.
So this guy just talks trash on Fred, then? That's what he does?
No, he doesn't talk trash. I always ask him just to find out a little bit more about Fred, who I listen to every day. And he gets me a little bit, but not too much, because he doesn't really ask a whole lot.
Well, I've never been in the guy's house, so I don't know anything about him. But wait, so
I haven't either. I'm in no rush to get there, so.
Wait, so he told you that he looks out through the window for me to go through a snowbank in the morning?
He saw you get stuck in the snowbank at the end of your driveway one day, and he watched through the window as you struggled with, I don't think you even had a shovel. You were trying to get rid of the snow with something else, but it was an interesting story.
Really? That was interesting? Really? I don't understand. Well, I'm glad that he looked through the window and helped so much.
I'm just going to say. I like watching. I'm not going to help my neighbor who's stuck in the driveway.
Believe
me,
that guy doesn't know one thing about me.
Man, that's a little weird, the whole thing.
Well, believe me, you can ask him anything you want. He doesn't know anything about me.
All right. Somebody said this old dude lived in a pond, which he did not own because it was an old reservoir. But if you went fishing on it, he would sneak up on you and shoot you with a cork gun.
A what gun?
A cork gun.
What's a cork gun?
You know, like one of those guns that goes boop. It like pops and hits. It can hit you in the head. You know, it's like a cork on a string.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what's that supposed to do?
He's a crazy old man.
It's really supposed to be annoying.
Just to piss you off, I guess.
When was the last time that they sold a cork gun?
This is 1952? An old man.
1952?
He's probably had it since then, when he wore a Davy Crockett cap out in the woods.
I'll tell you, that neighbor of mine is obsessed with the snow.
He's obsessed with you.
No, he's not. The guy obviously asked some questions about me. The guy doesn't know any.
How did he know that you were his neighbor? This guy obviously told everyone at his work that I live next to Fred Toucher.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a big deal. I mean, just telling him that you're a neighbor of someone who's on the radio, I don't think that's a big deal. I just think it's interesting that he's that into the snow.
Mm.
Yeah, you can tell people that you're my neighbor. I don't care.
And then telling you about, like, all the difficulties you've had in the front yard and ripping on you?
What do I care? I mean, but he could have come out and helped.
Instead of
just
Jack
looking through the window.
Sitting there and...
I don't know. He's like the guy that's, like, out 75 times snow blowing.
Oh, is this the guy that emasculates you were talking about?
This is Superman? Is this the guy?
Yeah, but that hasn't happened for a while. I wish it would. I wish that it would, but yeah, they're renovating their house and it's going to be going on for a year.
Is he doing it himself?
No, they moved. They moved for a year, and it's going on right next to my house.
This is the guy that whenever like you can't do something in the front yard, he shows up with just the right tools, just to show you up. Is that what it is?
No, but he was obsessed with us putting a tree in our front yard, like all he wanted us to do was plant a tree in our front yard, and I'm like, no.
Why? No, I don't. Why? Why? That's a weird ass conversation to have with somebody.
To beautify
who
the neighborhood.
Don't even know.
So I can climb in it and see in your top floor.
Honest to God, what neighbor who you don't know will have that conversation? You know what you need in your front yard?
The neighborhood
a tree.
The neighborhood got obsessed with, like, the town was going to pay for people to put trees, like, up. I don't know. And then I fall asleep.
You fall asleep on the ground.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Here are the headlines. We'll talk to Jeff Howe on.
sports hub.
98.5, the sports hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe is the New England Patriots beat reporter for TheAthletic.com. There is a lot of consternation because Tom Brady has not shown up for these OTAs. He hasn't missed this particular batch of OTAs before. It seems like his level of satisfaction with the team and the organization is not where it used to be. Jeff Howe, hello.
What's up?
Hello. What's up? So what do you make of this whole Brady situation?
Well, it's obviously unique, and something's up, and we still don't know the exact... I mean, he hasn't come out and said outwardly exactly why he hasn't participated in this offseason. I mean, there's been clues that he's left along the way. Some of it could be financial, where, I mean, I think he wants the team to come forward and make the first move with contract negotiations, give him a new deal, whereas, you know, Robert Kraft told me last month, if it becomes an issue, then they'll resolve it. So I think that could be the Patriots' way of saying that they want Brady to make the first move if he wants a new deal. So I don't know why there'd be a standstill there. I mean, it seems like something that would be easy to resolve considering their history with that. And then you look at the other side, the obvious storyline and the elephant that has been in the room for the last several months and all the drama that has taken place at Gillette. And, you know, is it directly related to drawing a line in the sand and saying I'm ticked off at the way last season sort of unfolded? Is it a combination of that and the family aspect of his life saying, you know what, you know, the family's growing older. I just still need to recharge the mental battery. I mean, I think it's probably a combination of all of it. I'm not sure which slice of the pie is biggest. I'm sure we could all sort of debate that round and round for a long time, but obviously it's unique. It is a story. I understand the merits of that have been debated, and I see a lot of it on Twitter. The fan base is exhausted over it, but again, until he shows up, it's going to continue to be something that we need to cover.
Why is the fan base exhausted? It's never happened before, and it comes after the Wickersham article and after the Tom versus Time. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on. What you're seeing is the fan base just dismissing this as nothing?
You know, that's always hard. I'm just going by the mentions that I see on Twitter, and people would prefer to talk about football over the drama. And usually the drama type of stories, unless it's, you know, directly sourced or somebody puts an actual name behind, you know, what they're saying, it's like, you know, what do you want to believe or what out there? Because even when this story was originally reported, there were some inaccuracies with it. And, you know, not to rehash stuff that's 6 months old at this point or anything like that, but, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly where the truth is. There's been a lot of great reporting along the way. But some of it, it's just, you know, it's almost the element of beating a dead horse. And again, that's just what I've sort of seen on Twitter.
All right, well then from the people you've spoken with, you know, your sources that you've spoken with, what do you think it would take to get him back on the same page with the Patriots? Like, what does he want money-wise, access of Alex Guerrero-wise, power within the locker room-wise? What do you think would make Tom Brady happy?
Well, I think you go back to the word appreciation, and however that is. Now, I don't know. The one unknown here is what has been the extent of the dialogue between Brady and Bill Belichick. I mean, is it completely back to normal? Is there still some lingering emotion from last season? I mean, I was sort of in the side all along that a lot of it was overblown last year. I think, you know, some of that has proven to be accurate. Some of it, you know, maybe, you know, who knows? I mean, it's hard to know the exact story behind the scenes there. Because, again, they still had so much success while all of this stuff was sort of hanging overhead. But then, you know, you even look at, you know, was it overblown? But then you look at what happened, you know, when that ESPN story came out, then you had people down at Gillette saying, well, who was the sourcing? And you had people start to look over their shoulders. So maybe, like, you know, the drama was overblown up until that point, and then that story probably, from my impressions, reignited some of it, or at least had it turn in a different type of direction. And then you got, you know, the AFC Championship week when Belichick likened the 12 stitches in Brady's hand to, you know, not being open heart surgery. So, you know, there's that element of the appreciation. But then I think you look at it the other side. I mean, everybody's appreciated when they get paid more. So I think if the Patriots came to Brady and said, hey, you know what? You're scheduled to make $30 million in cash over the next two seasons. Let's make sure you earn at least, I mean, I'll throw a number at the wall. I have no idea what Brady wants. But let's say, you know, we're going to give you a $10 million raise, and if that'll get you to camp right now. I mean, if something like that happened, would they say, I mean, obviously that'd be a great way to get everybody at the table. You want to give a guy a $10 million raise, then you get there, you rehash ever, or you hash out your differences, and you make sure that, you know, you can all sing kumbaya. So, again, I think you just go back to the word appreciation, however it is that Brady wants to be appreciated, but I think money is usually the great equalizer.
Do you think that the Crafts have done all that they can to make this situation to I guess, lessen it between Belichick and Brady?
I mean, I can't sit here and say yes. Part of me, you know, I'm reserved in answering the question because, again, I don't know. I don't want to make it look like I'm representing everything that's going on down there because I don't know everything that's going on down there with this situation. But I also can't say that they have done everything they can because Brady's still not there. So, you know, it's hard for me. I kind of want to tiptoe the line there because, I don't want to throw something against the wall and have it not be accurate. But on the other side, you know, it's hard to sit here and say, well, hey, if everything was perfect, I mean, the quarterback would be a practice right now.
All right, so I guess today is the day where the media can check the Patriots out at organized team activities. It's an open media session. When is the first time that the media can question some of the particulars in all of this? When does Bill Belichick speak to the media? When can the media really kind of get some answers?
Belichick's actually speaking this morning, I think at 10:35,
okay.
I believe it is, assuming I read the release right, which is always dangerous, but he's scheduled to speak today, which is a little different. Wow, voice cracked there. It's like sophomore year of high school. It's a little different than the way he has done it in the past when he's not really spoken during OTAs and kind of just waited until the mandatory minicamp. But again, hey, you know what? This is sort of almost uniform with how the earlier part of the offseason was going when he spoke three times in about a month span before the draft, which was also atypical. So I guess we'll have another chance to let Belichick answer questions about Brady not being down there.
All right, so Gronk should be coming back on Thursday from everything we're hearing, right? It's that date that he has to wait for from all reports and the people you've talked to. Is this just a matter of that's the earliest the contract can be signed and he's not going to jeopardize getting hurt before then?
Well, everything I've been told, he'll be there in time for minicamp. So that's June 5th to 7th. I don't know if that means he'll be there in the OTAs beforehand. I don't know if that means Thursday. Yes, Thursday is the key date because you can't restructure a contract within a year of the last restructure. So it could be that because it's a nice, you know, easy benchmark of a date. Because they do have practice Thursday, you're right about the side where, you know, if he goes out there and gets hurt, then the team can just pull it off because there's no, you know, legality behind a wink handshake agreement. So it could be that. It could just be, you know, when they met, whatever it was, a few weeks ago after that Monster Energy thing, I think it was like 4 days after that, I remember Karen Garigian reported right after that the two sides had discussed money again during that meeting when Gronk basically told Belichick that he was coming back. So I think if you look at that and you read the tea leaves, yeah, I mean, it would make sense that these sides ironed out the monetary demands. I mean, I reported back, I think it was on Super Bowl Sunday, that Gronk had already set his sights towards earning another incentive-laden type of deal in 2018, similar to the one that he had last season. So this has been something that's been brewing for quite a while. And again, of course, because of the CBA and the way contracts work, you can't do it until Thursday. You know, part of me wonders if they don't want to make it as obvious as Gronk showing up and then getting the new deal on that one-year anniversary. Maybe he comes next week. But whatever the case is, he will be there in time for mandatory minicamp in 2 weeks.
All right, Jeff Howe, you can read him at theathletic.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we appreciate it. Boy, those local guys do not like that Wickersham article. I can tell you that right now. They don't like that one bit.
What did you say to get an impression with Jeff? Because I know there's
he said that maybe maybe that exasperated things.
What's the word for that? A self something
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, a self-fulfilling prophecy, almost like the problem wasn't that bad, and then when this came out, it actually became a reality.
Right.
Well, when everyone found out what was really happening.
Well, yeah, I mean, because questions.
It was
and
happening
and,
anyway.
Yeah, it was happening. The Wickersham article was correct.
Well, it doesn't matter if Wickersham was, I mean, we wrote brought it to light, but the problem was still there.
We still keep going back to the Wickersham article, but like the biggest thing that's happened since the Wickersham article was the Malcolm Butler benching and people losing their faith in Bill Belichick.
My only point was that the Wickersham article was correct and the local media does not like that.
It can't feel good to be someone who covers the team every day and then a national guy to scoop a big story.
Right.
Or maybe they knew some of the details, but they didn't want to go to print yet, and then someone comes in and does it.
I just know that everyone dismisses it, and it was right. I mean, he was right. He got the information. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Obviously, friends that follow the Toucher and Rich Twitter page, and I can't lie to you, I check it out from time to time. But I've been told that I looked that what is going on with this Chip Chipperson podcast?
Oh, yeah. So
Jim Norton put something out that I could participate in the live Chip Chipperson podcast?
You had mentioned on the air about Chip Chipperson doing like a live broadcast here in town.
I had not mentioned that on the air.
Oh, I thought you...
No.
Yesterday you didn't say that?
Nope.
Okay. Well,
I don't think so. Maybe I did.
I think you did, because what happened was afterwards, somebody tweeted.
I didn't
Jim
know.
Norton.
I don't think that I did, because I didn't know this was happening. I really didn't know.
Okay. Well, somebody tweeted. Trying to find the actual tweet, and there it is. Oh yeah, somebody said, "Hey, you got to get Chip Chipperson on the show." They tweeted us, said, "You got to get Chip Chipperson on the show when he does his live podcast in Boston in September," and they copied Jim Norton. And Jim said, "I believe Fred would be a welcome guest as well." So there you go. I know you're a big fan of the Chip Chipperson podcast. I have not heard it.
I'm
but
a huge fan.
I know you're a big fan of it.
Me and Jamelli.
Yep.
You know, I feel bad because we were discussing him being in the hospital, and now I realize that there could be something wrong. And so now I feel bad about that. But nonetheless, what's giving him, I would imagine, encouragement is the Chip Chipperson podcast. So Jim Norton, this is a...
For people who don't know what this is, Jim Norton, who of course was on Opie and Anthony and has been a friend of the show for a while.
The Jim and Sam show now.
Yeah, Jim and Sam, he does a character named Chip Chipperson, very, very funny, and he does his own podcast as the character. And does he do it like once a week?
Once a week.
Okay.
It's on the Riotcast Network.
All right, and you've been a fan of that podcast for a while.
It's what Jamelli and I have in common. Is that we talk about the Chip Chipperson podcast.
And he said that he'd be a welcome guest.
Where is this event occurring?
I have no idea. I thought you knew.
I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. I have no idea that they were coming here. He never said it on... I haven't listened to this week's podcast, but he hadn't said it before this. So it's a... I know it's a... So it would be a live podcast. I know they did one in New York. And so this would be like the same pressure as when I did the Oh Hello thing. And I was the guest. So this would be a very, very pressure-filled situation.
Yeah, I have no idea when this is or where it is.
Yeah, I didn't know. But it would be an honor and a privilege to be on with Mr. Jim Norton.
So he stays in character and does.
Yes.
He's going to do 4 hours in character, or
no, it's an hour.
It's an hour.
That's a lot.
No, he does 4 hours. Oh, he does an hour.
All
and
right.
Then what happens with the Chip Chipperson podcast is he's the lead, and then he has a woman who's always on the show. Usually Anthony from Opie and Anthony's on the show, and they'll have like a guest or two. And so apparently I'd be one of the guests, which I don't know if that's what he meant, but I'm reading it that way. Don't you, Rich, read it that way?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like that.
So that's what I would like to do that.
Dude, I have no idea. I can't find where it is when he's going to be here, but apparently he is.
Well, he'll definitely do the show when he's here.
Oh, without a doubt.
So there you go.
If anyone knows, send me the info.
We could plug it.
Of course.
We'll plug that thing. I mean, I know we turned down Marlon Wayans, but we'd have.
Well, he was late, and we had other things to do.
Well, and also it was a big, it was a huge crisis here at the station. Linda, go ahead.
Hey guys, first time, long time. I live in Fort Pitt, New Hampshire, and they did this tree planting beautification you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I have the strangest neighbors, Paul and Marcia. They're in their 70s, and Marcia decided that I should have a tree on my yard. So she calls me. She goes, well, I talked to the town, and I've decided that we're going to put a tree, blah, 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 in my yard. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she says, yeah. We just do that. I was like, well, Marcia, I don't want a tree. Well, I've decided that you need a tree.
Yeah, that's basically... Like, there was
I don't want a tree.
Yeah, there was a great deal of pressure on me to put a tree in the yard, and we refused.
I would think, really, there is a lot of pressure on you to put a tree in your yard.
Like everyone else did.
So?
Who wants a big-ass tree in front of their house?
I have a small tree in my yard. Fine. But if someone came up to me and said, we've decided you need a tree in your yard, I said, it's not your choice.
No, but who wants a big-ass tree, like, directly in front of their house? It blocks all the sun. It does all of that.
Somerville Theater, by the way, is what I'm hearing from a listener. September 14th, Chip Chipperson.
Chip Chipperson, Somerville Theater.
That's once again, this is from a listener. I couldn't find it online, so.
All right, Somerville Theater. There you go. It should be an excellent time, regardless if I am on it or not. I'm a huge fan. I listen to it every week. You can also watch it on YouTube, Chip Chipperson Podcast. All right, we will talk Celtics 617.